Welcome to Executive Leaders Radio. In this hour, you'll hear directly from our region's finest business leaders. Through each of the interviews, these high-achieving leaders become relatable role models who share how they were able to build their enterprise, their personal secrets of success, about leadership styles and opportunities that lie ahead. Prepare to be inspired and entertained and to hear wisdom unheard elsewhere. Executive Leaders Radio.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from George Mason University School of Business. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, John Short, Graybeard Coaching, Lauren Rizza, Cressa, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Karen Addis, Van Epperen, Wayne Zell, Odin Feldman and Pittleman, David Karp, Pagnotto Karp, and Mark Friedman, Expense to Profit. John, will you please give us a rundown on our guests today?
Our first guest today is Dr. Ellie Giles, CEO of Workforce Montgomery. Then we'll talk to Jonathan Evans, President of Bart & Associates. Our third guest is Jay Chappell, CEO and co-founder of Park My Cloud. And our last guest is John Horowitz, the CEO of Easter Seals for D.C., Maryland, and Virginia.
Excellent. Let's take to our first guest, Dr. Ellie Giles, CEO of Worksource Montgomery. What is Worksource Montgomery? What do you guys do?
Good morning. Worksource Montgomery is the talent development entity in Montgomery County.
Mm-hmm. Give me an idea of how many folks you help on an annual basis.
We're about 6 months into our organization. We've already supported over 7,000 individuals.
Mm-hmm. And where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Baltimore, Maryland.
Baltimore, Maryland. And give me an idea of, your childhood. Like, what was going on? What kind of stuff was going on? How many different schools did you go to?
I grew up moving around. I went to 10 different schools.
10 different schools. What do you think the effect of going to 10 different schools was on you?
I think it had a great positive effect. I feel very comfortable in lots of different environments, and I enjoy meeting people.
What's that have to do with your job, your ability to meet people as the CEO of Worksource Montgomery?
As a CEO at Worksource Montgomery, my job is to connect our career creators and our career seekers.
So you're always meeting people. You're telling me that your ability to, when you were a kid, you moved to 10 different schools prior to graduating high school. You really think that gave you confidence in terms of meeting people that you use nowadays?
I do think it gave me confidence.
How interesting. And you also told us that your family was involved with boating. And tell us a little bit about your involvement with boating as a kid.
We, as a family, always did boating on a pretty regular basis. We actually lived on the boat for a long period of time. What it did for us was we worked as a unit. Running a boat and maintaining a boat is a full-time job. Mm-hmm. So it kept us all engaged. Uh-huh.
Didn't you tell us earlier that when you were 9 years old, you could take apart a diesel engine or something like that?
Yes, my father was a big guy, couldn't fit in the bilge, so we learned how to do the engine maintenance. So I could take down and put up a diesel engine.
So your ability to take apart a diesel engine and put it back together again at the age of 9, I'm wondering what that has to do with your running this organization called Worksource Montgomery.
I feel like there isn't anything that's a challenge I can't address.
So you have confidence in your ability to take on challenges because you knew as a young girl that if you could do the diesel stuff and if you could do the stuff on the boat, you could do anything.
That's correct.
And you really feel that way. You really have that confidence that developed from an early stage.
Yeah, pretty much as long as I can remember.
Uh-huh. Who's got the next question here, Karen?
How young were you when you first encountered a challenge?
Mm-hmm. I think when you're boating, there's a challenge every day because the weather, the tides, things that you don't know to expect. So I think pretty much our lifestyle created a challenge.
You also mentioned you worked as a unit. That's an interesting comment. As a family, what do you mean you worked as a unit, and how did that shape you for your role today?
Well, it was in the days when we used teak wood hulls instead of fiberglass, and you spent a lot of time keeping the maintenance of a boating and keeping the roping the lines fresh. And
what's that have to do with what you're doing nowadays?
Oh, I think that we all learned quickly how to work as a unit, delegating tasks, and understanding the importance of teamwork.
And today, what's that have to do with what you're doing with Worksource?
I think it's the same thing. I built a team that I know each of them can stand alone, but we work well as a team together.
Interesting. Who's got the next question?
It sounds like you moved around a lot. Was it difficult to do that?
It wasn't difficult. It was actually very exciting. So I actually, to this moment, get a little bored if I'm not doing something new in a pretty quick fashion.
So you're the kind of lady that keeps things moving forward. This organization known as Worksource Montgomery, you're going to keep on developing it, aren't you? Because you're not one to sit still.
No, don't sit still.
Mm-hmm. David?
I'm still fixated on this boat thing. tell me about your siblings.
I have a older brother and a younger sister.
Mm-hmm. And so you're the go living in close quarters with an older brother and a younger sister.
It was very close quarters. We all got to know each other very well and learned to respect each other's differences.
Well, what's that have to do with running this organization?
I think, again, it's all about connectivity and respect for individuality.
How young were you, 8 to 14, when you started connecting other people to each other, not just making connections yourself, but connecting other people?
I would say that that's something I've been doing pretty much my whole life as well. I think I can remember is we would move, introducing, meeting new people, and then within classrooms, and then introducing new friends to new friends.
Wait. You're telling me that your technique to get involved in each of the new communities you moved into was to meet somebody and then to start introducing people to other people?
Yeah, I was a born networker.
Wow, that's a great question, John. That's interesting. Isn't that what you're doing nowadays?
Absolutely.
As opposed to moving into a new community, you're just constantly introducing people to people?
That's right. We really pride ourselves in being the convener of resources.
Boy, you're really built for this job, aren't you?
I love it.
And it sounds to me like you're really going to keep this organization evolving because you don't like to sit still. What do you mean you like? You just said you love it, but you're not working 9 to 5, are you?
Well, I would love to work 9 to 5. I'm pretty much doing 24/7. We're just getting off the ground right now.
So you're working 24/7, and you're telling me that you love it. Aren't you crazy, though, working 24/7 and loving it?
It's the passion of creating something that makes a difference.
Mm-hmm. Karen?
So when you go away on vacation, they must be very calm vacations because you need to relax.
No.
Have any vacations coming up?
I do have a vacation coming up. On March 1st, I'm leaving for Iceland. And we are jam-packed active. We're going to be diving and snowboarding and all kinds of things while we're in Iceland.
So you're a very active kind of lady. You like to keep things moving. It's fascinating to me that issue about when you moved into a new community, as opposed to becoming a wallflower, you would meet somebody and then start introducing everybody, which is what you're doing nowadays. And in terms of your hobbies, in terms of your vacation, you're very active there. It's like you just like to keep things moving forward, don't
right.
you?
I very rarely sit still.
Uh-huh. Who's got the next question?
Sounds like you're having fun doing what you're doing.
I love it. I'm having a lot of fun.
I can't imagine moving 10 times and having fun, so it's really built into your personality, isn't it?
I think so. My family focused on fun. That was sort of the theme in our family. We laughed a lot. We had a great time together, and I'm sort of taking that attitude to everything I do.
How do you focus on fun at WorkSource Montgomery?
I tell a mean joke.
But you're supposed to be the boss. I mean, you're telling everybody jokes?
It's all part of it, is finding the humor in every situation.
Hmm. How large or how small is the internal team?
Right now we have 5.
Wow. So you guys must all be really busy.
We are.
But you think it's important to bring humor into the workplace?
I think it's vital.
Why?
I think because it keeps the climate and the energy in a positive mode. Mm-hmm. And humor does a lot to take the pressure off.
Huh, interesting. Have you really... Oh, Wayne, please.
You sound so self-aware. When was the first time you remember becoming self-aware?
Again, I think we, because of the situation of moving around, and we, you know, you learn really quickly how to do your own problem solving, what you're good at and what you're not good at.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
So if you're in a new environment, you can decide to see it as being a challenge or you could see it as being an obstacle. And so you have to decide what is the challenge to this and how am I going to rise to it.
So you have a creative streak as well.
I do.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Yes, David?
What was your role in the dynamic with your two siblings?
So even though I was in the middle, I was actually the one who sort of coordinated things in the family.
What do you mean?
So I made sure homework was done, dinner was done.
You're the middle sister. What are you telling me? So you're like the boss of the family?
I am the boss of the family, yes.
That was, David, where'd you get that question from? That was an excellent question. So you're the middle sister and you're helping organize everybody.
Right.
Let alone introducing kids when you move to the new neighborhoods and stuff. What did mom and dad do for a living?
My mother was a homemaker. My father was in sales software.
Were you more like your mom or your dad?
My dad.
What do you mean?
So my father was also very energized by new opportunities, and he was excellent in doing sales, but it was the evolution of software, and he couldn't wait to get to the next step in whatever it was, the new product that was out there.
Mm-hmm. So I can see how you're like your dad because you're so driven and tuned into people. What'd you get from mom that you bring to work every day?
My mom had a strong sense of family, and I do too. You know, no matter how busy we are, when I have to make a decision between my family and work, it's always family.
Huh. But on the other hand, you're telling me you're working 24/7, so it sounds like you're really passionate about work and the family, but you're just trying to strike the balance there a little bit.
No, it actually isn't a balance because we are a tight family. They share my passion.
I see. So you're married. You're married. You have kids?
I'm married. I have three adult kids.
Three?
Adult children.
Adult children. What's the similarity between being the between being a mom and being the CEO of WorkSource Montgomery?
The similarity is the understanding what each individual needs and being able to provide the environment for them to grow.
Do you really see a parallel between being a mom and being the CEO of WorkSource Montgomery? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Yeah, I think that the parallel is making sure that you are providing and helping leaders grow. I felt like my children are leaders. I wanted them to grow, and I believe that everybody on my staff has leadership qualities.
Wow. What's the website address for this organization known as WorkSource Montgomery?
WorkSourceMontgomery.com.
WorkSourceMontgomery.com. We've been speaking with Dr. Ellie Giles, CEO of WorkSource Montgomery, here on Executive Leaders Radio with my co-host, Sean Schuer, Gray Beard Coaching, Lauren Rizzo Cressa, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Karen Addis, Van Eckerman, Wayne Zell, Odenfeld and Pittleman, David Carp, Pagnotto Carp, and Mark Friedman, Expense to Profit. Back in a moment, right after this business spotlight. And your name is?
My name is Richard Bright.
And Richard, what's the name of your organization?
Bright Concepts.
And what is Bright Concepts? What do you guys do?
We're an association management company. We manage trade associations and consult to others, mainly in the sense of increasing revenue and sponsorship sales.
So you're helping your associations that you manage increase membership and increase revenues?
Absolutely.
Hmm. And how long have you been doing this for?
Ooh, since 97, incorporated in 97.
97. And how'd you get involved with this business?
I came over from the UK in 91 mm-hmm. and was sponsored by an organization back then to help them with their sponsorship sales and growth.
Why do your clients love you? Why do they appreciate about you?
Trust. They trust that we're going to get the job done. Mm-hmm. And we've become very strong relationships with all of our clients, and mm-hmm. we get them results. So I think that's why we're so special.
Interesting. What do you like about your job? What do you enjoy about your job?
You know, the people. I think the people we meet, and, you know, we're a not-for-profit organization. We work for not-for-profit, so mm-hmm. it's partly the cause, too. So the people and the cause.
Wow, so you really enjoy your job, and you're helping these associations build their membership and build revenue. Do you help provide them a variety of services? Is that how you do it?
Oh, absolutely, and we're constantly looking to add new services and benefits to the organization.
Huh. So you'll help them with their websites through everything?
Yeah, websites, communication, you know, heavy emphasis on meetings, conventions, trade shows for some. Depends on what their needs are and the type of organization.
So you really understand the formula of how an association can increase revenue and build membership.
We think so, yeah.
It's very fast. Interesting. What's the website address of your organization?
brightconcepts.net.
Let me have that one more time.
That's brightconcepts.net.
And we've been speaking with Richard Bright, president and founder of Bright Concepts.
Joining us for this business spotlight is Ted Billich, CEO of Risk Alternatives. Ted, what is Risk Alternatives?
Risk Alternatives is an Arlington, Virginia-based consulting company that provides risk management services for nonprofits and small businesses.
So what's the perfect client for Risk Alternatives? What is it they need?
The perfect client is a smaller organization that is looking to scale in some way. They want to build the resources that they need to thrive. And in order to build those resources, they need to professionalize.
But talk about risk. What kind of risk do these people encounter?
Well, Dana, so often people say that what you need in business is a big idea. I disagree. I don't think that's the full picture. You don't just need the big idea. You need to be able to execute on all the little things that make that big idea inevitable. Those little things require you to identify threats and opportunities and deal with them on a daily basis, and they make that a part of your routine.
So what do you enjoy most about working with these companies and helping them address these smaller risks?
There is that moment of epiphany when a smaller organization, either a founding team or the founder, him or herself, realizes that I really can do this. I can make decisions with clarity and get that peace of mind.
And that epiphany, you help them get there?
That's exactly right. What we do is we help build the systems that make that a part of their routine.
What's the website?
www.risk-alternatives.com.
Thank you for listening to this business spotlight.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, and we'd like to introduce Jonathan Evans, president of Bart & Associates. Jonathan, what is Bart & Associates?
Bart & Associates is a federal systems integrator providing services in SAP, Oracle, PeopleSoft, and legacy systems modernization.
How large or how small is this organization?
A little over 200 consultants.
A little over 200 consultants. All right. And it says here that you're the president. Where are you from originally?
I am from Hamden, Connecticut.
Connecticut. And how large or small was that town when you were growing up?
It is a mid-sized
Alrighty.
City.
And how many brothers and sisters?
One sister.
One sister, older or younger?
4 years younger.
4 years younger. And how'd you feel about your sister when you guys were growing up?
That I was her protector and leader.
So as opposed to embarrassing your sister or beating your sister up when you guys were kids, you felt you needed to protect her?
I was the older brother. I played the role of her.
Interesting. What's that have to do with the way you lead this organization known as Bart & Associates nowadays?
Like to be the leader. I like to lead our people through the challenges that we go through on a daily basis.
So when somebody's having a problem or not doing their job necessarily as well, you're there to, you're not going to yell and scream at them or beat them up. You're there to help move them along, aren't you?
I'm going to roll my sleeves up and get right involved in the problem with them.
Interesting. What kind of sports did you play as a kid?
Played basketball, tennis, baseball, swam.
What was your role on those teams? What was the common role you played on those teams? How did you affect those teams as a kid?
The leader or the influencer of the success of those teams.
What are you talking about? Give me an example.
Whether I needed to pitch one game or bat cleanup, I was there to make sure we were successful.
What's that have to do with what you're doing nowadays?
Similar role. I play wear a lot of different hats in the company, whether it's sales and business development or helping write a proposal.
I just wanted to know. I mean, it says here you're the president. I thought maybe you'd be sitting in your office all the time. But, you know, it sounds like you're willing to do whatever it takes, rolling your sleeves up. Who's got the next question there?
Jonathan, you said you were in sports. What did you do in basketball?
Was the point guard.
So as a point guard, what was your role? What did you do as the point guard?
Get people the ball. Help them score when needed.
What's the relationship of being a point guard there and being a CEO or president today?
I think it's very similar in that you're leader, you're the court marshal, you're there to make sure the team's going in the right direction, the plays are called, and you're executing on those.
I mean, you're a young guy. How did you do this so fast? When did you graduate college?
2003, started with IBM, but through hard work and determination have continued to network and lead teams forward to be successful.
Lauren?
What did your mom and dad do?
They were both teachers and school administrators.
What grade were they teaching?
One taught in high school and one was a middle school teacher.
And what was the effect of you growing up with two teachers when you were a kid? What'd that do to you?
Made me make sure my homework got done, but I believe it was probably the hard work and work ethic that was instilled in me from a young age.
Do you think having two parents as teachers really impacted your business career and how?
Certainly. I think it put me on the right direction, not only from a school perspective, but a work ethic and determination and dedication perspective.
Didn't you tell us that you had a special experience around the age of 13? Would you tell us a little bit about that, please?
I did. Just before 13, my mother was Catholic and my dad was Jewish, and I was given the decision to determine what faith I would follow. And from there, I chose the Jewish religion and had a bar mitzvah.
Why?
To be completely honest, yeah. I had saw my cousins have two big parties and successfully made some money.
So you're the kind of guy, you like people. You really love people. You wanted to have the party. You wanted to have some fun. But yet I also hear this deep sense of responsibility toward others like you had with your sister. You know, you're about developing the team and leading the team. John, did you have a question?
Well, I was going to ask him, since both his parents were teachers, how do they show up every day at Bart & Associates?
Wow, great question.
Believe they show up through the hard work and dedication and the morals they instilled on me to help folks and lead the organization.
David?
How young were you the first time you had a leadership experience outside the home?
Probably early ages in sports, leading whether it was an all-star team or the local team, leading that through the challenges of success.
So
it's interesting. You played a combination of team sports and individual sports.
obviously, as a leader, it's about the team. What did you learn from the individual sports that helps you today?
I think the competitive nature, the success was completely on your shoulders. So you failed or succeeded based on your work ethic, and the team sports brought in a well-rounded experience of working with a team to be successful. Mm-hmm.
Jonathan, what was your first job?
First job was lawn care and shoveling snow.
And who did you work with on that job? I mean, was it fun? Was it hard work? What was your experience?
It was a neighbor of mine, and certainly was hard work, whether it was cold weather or hot heat. Connecticut has a well-rounded climate, so we got both in that experience.
You mentioned that you were working with a guy that was 30 years old and you enjoyed it. That's kind of weird for a 13-year-old, isn't it?
Yep. I think coming from a very diverse background, both ethnicity and diversity from where I grew up, I've been always able to interact with folks of all ages, races, or religions.
Has that had any positive effect on your career, the fact that you're able to work with all different kinds of people ever since you were a kid?
Certainly. I think this D.C. area and certainly the IT environment brings in a lot of different folks from around the country. And in order to be successful, you all need to work together and mm-hmm. succeed for our clients.
Mark?
Tell us about your transition at Barton Associates, about how you first got involved with them and what drove you to become the CEO and president of the company.
Yep. So first got involved as the vice president of service delivery in a year of change with them. We had some partners that have been around for 28 years and shaped who the company was today. I came in to really establish a sense of service delivery and client success for the organization, and continued to take on more responsibility, and ultimately became that glue that brought the organization together.
What brought you to Barton Associates?
Their longstanding history in the government IT space. I originally started as one of their clients when I worked at IBM. Met the partners back in early 2000 as they were a growing business, and really connected with them and certainly.
So you were
them.
A client, and so you ended up believing in what they were providing and then got involved with them on the other side of the fence.
Yes. Yes, I did.
Interesting. So you knew what you were getting involved with. They also knew who you were.
It was a number of years of trial.
Well, it sounds like you rose through the ranks just like you did with those teams. I mean, you know, you've got this, you know, as opposed to, you know, keeping yourself separate or beating everybody up, it sounds to me like you know how to win with a team, starting with how you described your sister, let alone when you were mowing lawns with somebody older than you. You know, you're getting along with everybody. You're fitting into the team. And in fact, you played all those different sports, you know, and it sounds to me like you wouldn't have been the captain of many of those teams unless everybody liked you. Because they would have thrown you off the team, right?
I'd certainly like to think so.
Huh. So you're about, is it developing commitment? What's your special sauce? What do you do really special?
I think it's being there with the team, whether it's a late night proposal or a weekend proposal. I'm there with the entire team to make sure we deliver on our commitments from our clients.
So you're really hands-on. I mean, you're not asking people to do stuff that you're not able or willing to do.
Certainly. Hands-on in the trenches with the folks, whether it's a client issue on the ground or a problem that needs to be solved or getting a proposal out the door.
What's a website address for Barton Associates?
BNA-INC.com.
Let me have that one more time.
Letter B, letter N, letter A, -INC.com.
We've been speaking with Jonathan Evans, president of Barton Associates, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment right after this business spotlight. And your name is?
Ray Briscuso.
And Ray, what organization are you with?
Life Sciences Conference Group.
And what is Life Sciences Conference Group? What do you folks do?
We produce annual conferences and events for medical technology, life science, pharmaceutical companies.
Uh-huh. So if I go to an event, you're the folks that are working behind the scenes to make it happen?
That's correct. We're the ones that make sure the food's on the table, the seats are there, soundstage and lights are there, your registration process works.
And what kind of events are these? Are these just in the life science industry?
Strictly in the life science industry.
Why do you focus on the life science industry?
We found that the best way to produce a high-quality event is to really know your customer. So we don't believe in numbers. It's names. We get to know each company. We find out what their actual mission and goals are, and we find the best way to deliver the value to them.
And are you doing this nationally or regionally?
We do it nationally. We'll continue to look for international opportunities, but it's primarily here in North America.
And how old is this company?
The company has just finished its 10th year.
And how long have you been with the company?
I founded the company 10 years ago.
What gave you the idea to start this company?
I used to work for a big corporation, and I produced the annual event for us. And when I decided to leave, they said, thank you for giving us $150 million worth of a business, and we'll see you later. And next time I decided I would keep some ownership and do it myself.
Ah, so you've been building this ever since. What do you like about your job?
I like how different it is because we mix policy, we mix business. I might be putting one CEO together with a politician. I might be putting another CEO together with an investor. Mm-hmm. And I might be putting the next person together with their next employee.
How interesting. What's the website address for this organization?
MedTechConference.org.
Let me have that one more time.
MedTechConference.org.
.org. And the name of the organization again is?
Well, Life Sciences Conference Group.
Life Sciences Conference Group. And your name is?
Ray Briscuso.
Ray Briscuso. We've been talking to Ray Briscuso, CEO and managing partner of Life Sciences Conference Group here on Executive Leaders Radio. This has been your business spotlight. And your name is?
Jeff Lawson.
And Jeff, what organization are you with?
I'm with Lakota Hotels and Resorts.
And what do you guys do? What kind of stuff are you doing that's special?
Well, we manage conference centers and hotels, and we're currently managing the National Conference Center in Leesburg, Virginia.
National Conference Center. How large or how small is this organization?
The conference center itself is 900 rooms in size, 350,000 square feet of meeting space, dining facilities for 850, exercise facility all set on 61 acres of land.
Wow, this is a large organization, isn't it?
It is, very large.
Uh-huh. And what's your role in the organization?
I'm the general manager, and I have oversight of the property and all the hospitality services that occur.
Well, what's the general manager supposed to do with this large facility?
Make sure eight executive committee members and a full staff of 210 do their daily jobs.
So how many folks do you have running through your halls on a weekly basis or daily basis or annual basis? What's that look like?
Well, on a weekly basis, on a full house, we'll have 900 per night, 7 nights, 6,300, which translates to about 20,000 meals a week.
Wow. And your job, are you working 9 to 5, or do you end up having to work evenings and early mornings and weekends and stuff like that?
No, I'd say I'm always on duty.
Uh-huh. What do you enjoy about your job?
Meeting people, working with some of the finest hospitality people in Virginia, which is my team, and meeting our clients. They're wonderful.
So you're helping your clients plan their events?
Well, we help plan. They are there for some form of education that goes on at one end of our business, and at the other end of our business, they're there for social catering events, weddings and such.
So you're running a 24/7 facility, aren't you?
We are.
Uh-huh. What's the website address of this organization?
ConferenceCenter.com.
Let me have that again.
ConferenceCenter.com.
And your name again is?
Jeff Lawson.
And the name of the organization?
Lakota Hotels and Resorts.
And this has been your Business Spotlight. Want help starting, growing, fixing, or exiting your business with the help from this show's CEOs? Our CEOs can help you start, grow, fix, or exit your business because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you now. Email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. The same CEOs you've heard on the show for 10 years may be willing to help you start, grow, fix, or exit your business because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. Get help from CEOs who have walked in your shoes and succeeded. Get help from CEOs who appreciate and understand what you're going through. Email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, John Schuark, Graybeard Coaching, Lauren Rizzo-Cressa, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Karen Addis, Van Epperin, Wayne Zell, Odin Feldman, Pittleman, David Karp, Pagnotto Karp, and Mark Friedman, Expense to Profit. I'd like to introduce Jay Chappell, who is the CEO and co-founder of Park My Cloud. Jay, what is Park My Cloud? What do you guys do?
Yeah, sure. Park My Cloud is like Nest for the cloud. We help enterprises turn servers off in the public cloud because it's just like a utility they use at home.
So you're telling me that companies that have their stuff in the cloud may be paying for time they're not using, and you're helping them save that money.
Exactly. Public cloud providers like Amazon Web Services, Microsoft Azure, Google Compute, etc., once you turn a server on, it's always on. And when developers and testers and people like that go home, we turn it off at nights and weekends, saving companies money and electricity.
What a cool idea. So where did the venture capital come from to start this?
Yeah, so we started the company about 18 months ago. Mm-hmm. We raised an angel round, and then last August we raised a seed round of $1.65 million. And now this is the first half of the year. We hope to raise a Series A round.
Now, didn't you tell me that you have three kids? And I'm just thinking it's pretty risky starting a business, especially when you have three kids.
Yeah, it's good fun. I got three teenagers, 16, 14, 12, travel soccer, lacrosse.
So you like challenges, huh? Where were you from originally?
I was born in Baltimore, moved around a little bit, spent some time in Africa, lived in Illinois, lived in West Virginia, lived in Virginia, lived in Switzerland.
What did you learn from all that moving as a kid?
There's a lot of great places out there in the world to see, a lot of great people to meet, and I've stayed connected with a lot of people over the last 40 years.
So as opposed to finding it a crippling experience, you sort of looked forward to moving?
I look forward to challenges. The moving was fun. I mean, you know, living in Zurich, Switzerland, who's going to complain about that?
So, who's got the next question here?
Oh. How young were you, 8 to 14 years old, when you realized you wanted to be the best at something?
Yeah, so I would probably say that started when I was playing golf and soccer. So I'd probably say somewhere between the ages of 8 to 10, and then I started working shortly thereafter.
Mm-hmm. And what did you do for work at that age?
Well, so since I liked to golf, I caddied at the local country club. Didn't belong there, but caddied there. And then I also mowed lawns, shoveled snow, lived in Illinois at the time, and also delivered papers.
What position did you play in soccer?
Soccer was a midfielder. So there's 11 players. I usually played center mid. So, you know, the job was collect the ball, distribute the ball, get the teammates involved, score a little too. It's fun.
Is there any relationship between that position and what you do today at Park McLeod?
Well, I think being the center midfielder, you have a leadership role in the team to make sure everybody's involved and communicate well, and I like to do that at work. We do a great job of communicating, getting the team involved, and growing the business. And we use a lot of external contractors as well in the same regard.
Lauren?
How is being a father to three teenagers similar to running a business?
Yeah, so that's a tough parallel there. The teenagers, I'm really at this point, since they're 12, 14, and 16, I'm basically an Uber, taking them to the sports and taking them to their friends. So drawing a parallel with work, I think work is, they're both challenges, and I think they're in a different way at this stage.
How about in terms of the people, being a dad and building this team?
Well, I think communication's important. I mean, obviously everybody here knows if you've had kids and teenagers, you got to be able to communicate with them. You have to listen to them too. You can't tell them everything they say is wrong. So at work, we do a really good job of communicating. In fact, we had a call on the way over here, and we all threw out our ideas and listened, and then made the right decision going forward. It's the same concept at home.
Earlier in the agreement, Karen, did you have a question there?
So, what made you start an entrepreneurial business later in life?
Well, like John earlier, I was also with IBM for some period of time, and we were getting our lunch handed to us in terms of some of the applications we were trying to sell to companies that were putting stuff into the cloud. We didn't really have the right solution for that. Saw the climate changing, and thought it'd be a good time to go off and do something that would allow people to better manage their infrastructure off-premise and not on-premise.
So what made you leave a cushy corporate job? Why didn't you just go to another cushy corporate job?
Yeah, sometimes I make knee-jerk decisions, and that was probably one of them, but it's a great decision. I've enjoyed what I've done. I've met a ton of people, only 1% of companies raise external funding. We've done that, and I think we'll get to the next round, and that's an even smaller percentage. So part of it is just trying to win.
Are you nervous about a startup? I mean, after having been in the corporate world for so long?
So I would answer that as no. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But I think so far we're kicking it, and we're going to keep going.
David? Whoop.
You know, you have a lot going on. Kids, business, clearly a lot of great hobbies.
You get bored easy?
Yeah, I would say that's the case. I like to stay active. I actually still do the same things I did 30 years ago. I still play men's soccer. I still golf with my mates. I still go skiing. I work. I train. And I hang out with the family.
Jay, didn't you tell us earlier that at some early stage of life, you understood you had to take care of yourself? What was all that about?
Yeah, I think my parents, when they grew up, they had to learn to take care of themselves, earn money, spend money on things, have a sense of responsibility. I think they instilled that in me as well. And, I have to appreciate what they did with that.
How'd you get that lesson from them? Did they tell you how to go take care of yourself? And how young were you when you got that lesson?
Well, they chucked me out of the house and told me I'm just kidding. So essentially, I think they just said, you know, if you want things in life, you're going to have to go out and earn them. And so I went out and, you know, earned some money, saved some money, could buy some things. I had a great experience in college because I worked the entire time, too. So I was able to go spend money when my friends couldn't.
So you keep yourself pretty active. Karen or Mark? Yes.
So who are you more like, your mom or your dad?
Yeah, I would say more like my dad.
Why is that? Why is that?
Well, I mean, you know, so he obviously grew up probably in tougher circumstances than I did on a farm with no father and stuff. I didn't grow up on a farm with no father.
Mm-hmm.
But he always was trying to drive forward. First, he was in IT, and then he successfully bought and ran companies in the federal sector space. So I think I had sort of that same drive in that regard. I would say in a little different way, but same drive.
Interesting.
You told us earlier you were a caddy when you were a kid. How does being a caddy translate into working with customers today?
Humility. So I used to caddy for people that really, frankly, stunk at golf. And so I'd have to tell them, hey, nice shot, good job, keep going. So, and you know, sometimes you're sitting in front of customers and they just ask stupid questions, try to trip you up, and you just got to smile and say, okay, you know, what do you mean by that? And ask the follow-on question. I got some really good advice, though, when I was first starting out as a salesperson in 2000. My first boss told me God gave you two ears and one mouth. So when I go to customers, I listen twice as much as I speak.
Karen, did you have a question there?
No? So when did you first realize that you could use humor as a tool to either win or get along in life?
Yeah, so I'm a networker. I like to be around people. I'm an extrovert. I like to make people feel good. So
give us
an
example as a kid when you really actually that dawned on you could do that.
I think just being on the sports team, you know, you're working hard and sometimes you got to have a little moment of levity. Being in school, you get in, you know, certain situations. So I think it's just noticing and having that ability to notice what's going on around you and trying to diffuse the situation at times.
So what do you get from your mother?
Yeah, so my mom is quiet, so I don't get that. My mom's highly intelligent. I'm not sure I get that either. But I think my mom's pretty patient, and sometimes I try to be patient around things. Uh-huh. And my mom's a really good listener. I think the most important thing I got from my mom is I do try to listen sometimes.
David?
Not all the time.
Tell me about your siblings.
Yeah, I have a younger brother. He's two years my junior. Lives here in D.C., works locally and likes to play golf as well.
What was your relationship with your brother like when you were kids?
I would say up and down.
What do you
mean? We were competitive.
Oh.
We had a few fights here and there, uh-huh. A few issues. But then, you know, as we got older, we took care of him. You know, we were both in each other's, you know, best. I was best man in his wedding and all that kind of good stuff. So, you know, through the years, I think it matured.
Wow. So on one hand, you guys were really competitive. On the other hand, you were best men in each other's weddings. How's that tell us who you are today in terms of the business?
Well, I think that I'm really, really quick to get over things, like really quick. So if something doesn't go well, you just got to move on, you know, and the same thing with relationships with other people. You're not going to get along all the time. I'm still just got back from a ski trip with my two best friends from high school, and we've been friends now for 30 plus years.
Wow, so you're all about relationships and long-term. That was a great question, yeah. David. Wayne, do you have a question there?
Yeah, how do you differ from your dad?
Well, I think I would like to say that I'm more like a laid-back type A, and I think he's a more aggressive type A. But I think just in terms of the way we deal with people is probably different. But I think we still have the same motivation.
Mm-hmm. What is a laid-back type A? I haven't met one yet.
Yeah, I smile a lot when I'm going hard at people.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So how young were you first realized you were resilient and different than other kids in that way?
I think moving around, when I was one story is I left my senior year of high school from Illinois and moved to Virginia. Now, that sucked, I'll be perfectly honest. But, you know, I had to suck it up, move on, get a job here, get new friends here. That's why these are my best friends for 30 years, because I only knew them when I was 18.
So how does that translate into starting up a company?
You got to be resilient, get a lot of no's, you got to keep moving. You want to surround yourself with really smart people that have the same vision you do, and then and have a good time while you're doing it.
Isn't it frightening, though, if you really surround yourself with smart people, they could, like, outfox you or outsmart you and stuff like that?
Oh, no. My goal would be 5 years from now, sitting in Colorado, running a company with five smart people around me, running the business for me, managing it from above.
Wow. So you're really comfortable with smart people.
She was on Jeopardy, so yeah. He should be comfortable.
Your mom was on Jeopardy?
My mom was on Jeopardy.
So she really is a smart lady.
Yeah.
Wow.
Quiet intelligence she has.
Did she read a lot?
She reads a lot.
Do you read? Do you read about stuff?
I actually, believe it or not, I still use a Kindle, and I Kindle every night to chill out.
So you study. You like studying stuff. You like reading stuff. It's not like you're the smartest. You don't want to pretend that you're the smartest guy on the team.
10 to 15 minutes of relaxation a day. That's it.
Wow. What's the website address for your organization?
Parkmycloud.com.
Let me have that again.
It's park, MyCloud.com.
We've been speaking with Jay Chappell, who's the CEO and co-founder of Park My Cloud here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment right after this business spotlight. And your name is?
Steve Gwensberg.
And Steve, the name of the organization is?
NVT Staffing.
And what do you guys do for your clients?
We're a staffing company in the D.C. metropolitan area.
And what kind of people do you help your clients get?
Anywhere from short-term temporary positions on to permanent positions.
Short-term temporary positions to long-term?
Long-term full-time. If they're looking to hire a full-time employee, we'll help them find that perfect fit.
So you're helping your clients find people that either can fill a temporary position or that can stick around long-term. And what kind of people are these people? What kind of roles are they playing within the organizations?
Anywhere from your receptionist, general office positions, to high-end IT professional. Engineers.
So you're helping your companies find bookkeepers as well?
Bookkeepers, you name it. We do IT, medical.
Really, a wide range of people.
Wide range.
And how long have you guys been in business?
25 years.
What do you like about your job?
I like that I get to problem solve. I get to work with people. I get to help people out, and it can be very rewarding.
What do you mean you help people problem solve? What are you talking about? I thought sure. You just, you know, introduce somebody to a company and that's the end of the story.
No, people come to me. They might be starting out in the industry, or a company comes to me. They're looking for a specific candidate they haven't had luck finding. And I go out and I find that candidate and I identify it for them.
So you like hunting down the perfect people?
Absolutely.
So your nature is a recruiter?
Absolutely.
So you like recruiting people?
Sure.
You like finding people? Can you feel that, like, when it really fits right? Can you feel that? Does that make you feel good?
Absolutely.
Huh, interesting. Well, what's the website address for your organization?
It's NVTstaffing.com.
NVTstaffing.com. And it's all for all different kinds of people you're helping the companies, your clients with. Let me have that website address one more time.
Sure, it's NVTstaffing.com.
Excellent. And your name again?
Steve Gwensberg.
And this has been your Business Spotlight.
This is John Schuhart. Joining us for our Business Spotlight is Barry File. Who are you with, Barry?
I'm with Celebrate Fairfax, a 501c3 nonprofit in Fairfax, Virginia.
And what do you do with Celebrate Fairfax?
I am very fortunate to be the president and CEO of the organization.
So what does Celebrate Fairfax do?
We have a mission to celebrate Fairfax County and its communities. We serve the 1.1 million people who live in the county, and as well as all the people who visit and work there.
So what do you enjoy about working at Celebrate Fairfax?
It is the best job in the world. It is. We come to work every day, my team and I. And we get to prepare and plan and produce events for 75,000, 100,000 people. And we treat them like, we think of them like they're our friends. So we get to come in and just plan great events for them.
What makes those events so special?
We try to be unique within this region especially, but we're always trying to stretch the envelope of what people expect from events. People go to events because they want to have great experiences. And for us, we are always trying to give them that return on investment, because they're not giving us necessarily a lot of money when they come to our event, but they are giving us their time and their energy, and that's an important thing. People want that ROI back.
So did you ever think you'd be doing this when you were a kid?
No, never. I think that when I was a kid, I was building things, designing things, and somewhere along the line I fell into events and realized that it was a natural extension for me, that I just loved producing things.
So what was it about being a kid that led you to this?
I think that it was just the challenges that were there. I always tried to figure out solutions to problems that didn't exist, and that's what we do now. It's the same principle.
So when do you first start overcoming big challenges as a kid?
I think I always was. I think that I lived in a household with two older kids, parents who had their own things going on, and I think for me, I just always tried to find my own way.
What's your website?
Our website is celebratefairfax.com.
This is John Schuhart, and this has been your Business Spotlight.
Want help building your business with help from this show's CEOs? Our CEOs can help you uncover more opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. The same CEOs you've heard on the show for 10 years may be willing to help you build your business, uncover new opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. Some of the CEOs who have appeared on our shows over the last 10 years may be willing to help you grow assuming you're serious about your success, serious about your own success, because it all starts with the leader. If you're serious about creating your own successful business, are truly committed to putting your nose to the grindstone and doing whatever it takes to make your business successful, we may be able to match you with successful CEOs who have created millions of jobs and earned millions of dollars to help you create your success. We've established unique relationships with a unique universe of over 7,000 CEOs who have created substantial wealth for their companies, their teams, and themselves. These women and men get the build in their blood and often continue to start and build businesses even after they've created substantial wealth for themselves because they love the challenge of building a business. Perhaps we can present you and your business to some of these CEOs to gain their interest in helping you. Now email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com to hopefully match you with some of the CEOs we've had on the show for the last 10 years. mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. I'd like to introduce John Horowitz, who is the CEO of Easter Seals, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. John, what is Easter Seals?
Easter Seals is an organization that provides services for people with disabilities and special needs, including veterans and military family members, to ensure that everyone can be independent, included, and contribute to society.
Give me an idea of how many folks you've helped in this region, in the tri-state area here, over the last year.
We serve about 10,000 people a year.
And I understand that you've had a rather successful career in corporate America. Could you give us a quick rundown on some of the fancy-dancy titles you've had and what you've done?
Yeah, I started as an investment banker in New York City and then went to one of my clients to be the VP of corporate development to help them take advantage of the telecom boom in the late 90s. And then became their VP of budgeting and forecasting after we sold the company to Global Crossing. And then came down here to work for Capital One and was the VP of strategic finance there.
So you've had a rather illustrious and progressive corporate career. And I'm wondering, what brought you to this organization known as Easter Seals?
Well, I was the class agent for my business school, and after my reunion, I realized they had enough money, and I needed to do something that mattered a little bit more. So I joined the board of Easter Seals, and as I got to know the families and the clients, I came on board about 5 years ago as the chief operating officer to help the organization grow.
Did your mom have something to do with it?
Yeah. When I was looking at organizations, I thought of Easter Seals as just dealing with young kids. And I saw their medical adult day services, and at the time, my mom had cancer, and I wasn't sure, you know, would I put her in a nursing home or hire a home health aide? And when I saw what Easter Seals was doing for older adults, I was just so amazed that it's what made me join the board.
What was Easter Seal doing for older adults?
Well, we have a program where we bring older adults together in a community-based setting where they get medical attention, but also wonderful activities. And they're really part of the community and not isolated in an institution.
Do you think that was able to help you? Was helpful for your mom?
Well, actually, my mom didn't end up needing the services. She did very well for a number of years and then declined really rapidly and was in the hospital for the last 2 weeks.
So your mom has passed?
Yes.
If your mom knew what you were doing nowadays, how do you think she'd feel?
I think she'd be really happy.
Why?
She cared a lot about the community. When I was a kid, you know, we didn't have a lot of money, but she used to volunteer and was active in the community, and I think she'd be glad that I'm doing something.
So you've got your mother in you by doing this. Who's got the next question?
Where did you fall in the order of children in your family, and how did that influence you in your life?
I am the youngest by a lot, so I have an older brother and sister, but they're 9 and 11 years older. So it's almost like being an only child for a lot of the childhood that I can remember.
And how do you think that affected you?
Made me feel a lot of responsibility to live up to the standards that they were achieving.
Wait a minute. Usually the youngest is like it's easygoing and, you know, walking through flowers through life. You're telling me you had a sense of responsibility because of that? What do you mean?
Well, when I go to school, my brother was very good at math and science. My sister was really good at English and history. So no matter what class I went to, the teacher was like, oh, you're so-and-so's little brother. I'm sure you're going to be great.
So what'd that do to you?
made me feel a need to always do my best and work hard.
What's that have to do with your, it says here you're the CEO of Easter Seals. What does this have to do with you being the CEO of Easter Seals? How's that affecting you nowadays?
Well, I think we all work very hard on our team. And I've always really liked Asian studies. And it's kind of like what Lao Tzu said. You have to be a good leader, you have to walk beside people. And when the work is done, the people say we did it ourselves.
Wow.
And that's my focus, to really work with the whole team.
Karen?
How young were you when you first started helping people?
The first thing I really remember was when I was in high school working in the grocery store. There was a telethon on, and I donated to the telethon.
Oh, wait, how young were you?
16.
How'd that make you feel?
It made me feel like I was doing something important for the community.
Mm-hmm. David?
Was philanthropy just part of your household growing up?
To the extent that it could be. I mean, I think it was interesting because my parents were not ones to get real involved in any one organization, but do a lot for a lot of different groups to the extent they could. We didn't have a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Next question, Lauren?
So did you work as a kid?
I did. I shoveled snow and mowed lawns and sort of started a little business, put flyers all around the neighborhood and saw who called.
You put flyers all around the neighborhood? So you have a natural feel for promotion, huh? What's that have to do with your being the CEO of Easter Seals?
Well, I really like to get out there and meet people. I serve on the board of the Northern Virginia Chamber of Commerce. I love going out and meeting people and really listening to what they want to achieve and then seeing how we can help them do that.
Oh, all right. Who's got the next question here? John?
You said earlier you had three daughters. How does that relate to running a service organization?
Well, I think it's important to always try your best to be a good role model for your kids. I won't say I always succeed, but I think demonstrating that you can do good while doing something important is nice.
How do you think your daughters feel that you are running a service organization that helps folks?
I think they're proud of it. They've definitely expressed that to me.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
Well, when I decided to make the shift from corporate America to the nonprofit space, it was something that we talked about as a family, because obviously it means taking a big pay cut, and they were all on board.
So the whole family's behind you with this stuff. Wayne, do you have a question there?
No, I was just going to comment, mm-hmm. But I really had a question. How difficult has it been to transition from corporate to nonprofit? Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not as different as people would think. We still have to find ways to make revenues and control costs. Biggest thing is the difficulty of getting enough resources to do everything we want to do.
What's the website address of Easter Seals?
It's eseal.org, so that's mm-hmm. E-S-E-A-L. Mm-hmm. .org.
We've been speaking with John Horowitz, CEO of Easter Seals, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, here on Executive Leaders Radio. John, can you please give us a rundown on who we've had to speak with today?
Our guests today were Dr. Ellie Giles, CEO of Workforce Montgomery, Jonathan Evans, President of Barton Associates, Jay Chappell, CEO and co-founder of Part My Cloud, and John Horowitz, CEO of Easter Seals for D.C., Maryland, and Virginia.
Excellent. I'd like to thank my co-hosts, John Chuar, Graybeard Coaching, Lauren Rizzo, Cressa, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Karen Addis, Van Epperin, Wayne Zell, Odin Feldman, Pittleman, David Carr, Pagnotto Carp, and Mark Friedman, Expensive Profit, for giving me a hand structuring the questions. Hope you're providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our listening audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders, executiveleadersradio.com. Thank you for joining us today, and have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to Executive Leaders Radio, the region's premier radio show highlighting local executive leaders. We hope you've enjoyed the show here on 1500 AM. You can learn more about Executive Leaders Radio by visiting executiveleadersradio.com or tune in next time right here on 1500 AM. That's executiveleadersradio.com.